The voices you trust to help you understand what's happening.
Ebong Udama.
Janice Roman.
Sabrina Garone.
Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
And the voices that keep you company throughout the week.
I'm Emily Boyer. So glad to be with you today.
Hi, I'm Walt Graham.
Hey there, good evening. I'm Laura Enrico. How are you doing? I hope you've had a good day.
Real people, trusted voices, serving a community we're proud to be a part of. WSHU, news you trust, music you love.
You're listening to WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Lawmakers from our region react to last night's State of the Union. You can literally see the Great South Bay through a hole in the Fire Island Inlet Bridge. A new survey has some good news for Governor Lamont, plus what exactly is geothermal energy? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. President Trump delivered his State of the Union address to a joint session of Congress last night. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports Connecticut lawmakers weren't impressed.
More than half of the state's delegation skipped the speech. U.S. Senator Chris Murphy instead spoke at an event called the People's State of the Union, held on the National Mall.
This union is in crisis right now. Our cities are under attack by lawless law enforcement. Our democracy is wilting under ceaseless attack from a president who wants to be a despot.
The three members of the delegation who attended, Senator Richard Blumenthal and Representatives Rosa DeLauro and Joe Courtney, mostly remained seated and silent with their Democratic colleagues during the remarks. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Lawmakers on Long Island are calling on the state to permanently fix a hole in the bridge that connects Captree State Park to Fire Island. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports.
The State Transportation Department says a hole in the Fire Island Inlet Bridge is likely caused by erosion from severe weather and the freeze-thaw cycle. It was patched up last week with temporary materials. Now, New York State Assemblyman Mike Durso from Massapequa Park and Jared Gandolfo from Sayville want the state to accelerate its timeline for major repairs, which aren't scheduled until fall of 2027. But a DOT spokesperson says that's not happening and the bridge is safe for travel. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
New Haven's largest community resource for its LGBTQ residents is closing its doors this week. The New Haven Pride Center says they hope it's temporary. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Board co-chair Hope Chavez says the center is furloughing its few paid staff members starting this week.
The Pride Center has been, as I think a lot of people know, through a very difficult chapter the last 3.5 or so years.
She says they've spent years trying to recover from a $200,000 debt to the IRS.
And so it felt really important that we do the best that we can by our community, take a pause, really reflect on and work with the consultants and the funders and the partners we've been talking to for weeks now about how we can continue to provide services to our greater New Haven LGBTQ plus community.
In the meantime, she says they're working out how to help LGBTQ people in New Haven with the basics, directing them to food pantries and clothing closets. But they're also telling their patrons, don't be a stranger.
If you think you have something to offer to our community, even if we can't be the home for it right now, like physically offered ourselves, like reach out. We'd love to continue sharing those resources to folks. And obviously, if there is an angel donor or someone who really believes that the Pride Center needs to keep operating the same way that we do, we invite you to reach out to us.
Chavez says, of course, it's been harder to operate in that climate, but she refuses to give up hope that the city and state will keep helping their LGBTQ residents. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
As the Trump administration moves to roll back federal support for renewable energy, one clean power source may be quietly gaining ground. That story is coming up.
WSHU will celebrate America 250 with a weekly series focusing on the American experience in music. You'll hear music, musicians, and musical institutions that have contributed to the rich, vibrant musical life in the U.S. throughout its history. Listen for The American Experience every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., beginning on February 24th, right here on WSHU. News you trust, music you love.
Six people on Long Island died during this weekend's blizzard. County officials say all of them died after shoveling snow, and all appear to be heart-related injuries. Officials say most of the deaths involved men over 60. New York residents ranked affordability as the biggest issue in a recent poll. According to the Business Council of New York, residents under 35 were most likely to list affordability as the biggest issue, specifically housing. The council has launched a campaign for the state, highlighting policies that are effective or not effective for affordability. Yale's contribution to the city of New Haven will drop by $8 million due to new budget cuts. In 2021, New Haven approved a six-year contract in which Yale would increase any voluntary payments to the city. New Haven Mayor Justin Elliger said he'll submit this year's proposed budget by the end of next week. A new survey shows Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont out front in his bid for re-election, WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports.
A poll by the University of New Hampshire Survey Center has found Lamont with a comfortable lead for the Democratic nomination in 2026. 57% of likely Democratic primary voters say they would vote for him if the primary were held today. 13% would vote for challenger State Representative Josh Elliott. Nearly 30% are undecided. Lamont's approval rating has slipped in recent months, according to the survey. The majority of respondents list the high cost of living and difficulty paying heating costs as top concerns. However, Lamont has widespread bipartisan support for his proposals to ban cell phone use and give free breakfast in the state's public schools. A majority support a proposed rebate to help with home heating costs, and most support a proposed cap on rents. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
The Trump administration has been focused on rolling back federal support for renewable energy. But why is geothermal different? WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Jan Ellen Spiegel to discuss her in-depth reporting on this. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
Let's start by explaining what geothermal energy is and why you think it's an energy option the Trump administration somewhat supports while rolling back support for other renewable energy development.
Geothermal, in a nutshell, is the heat in the earth. When most people think of geothermal, they think of something like the geyser Old Faithful spitting out all this hot steam. Yes, that is a function, that is a type of geothermal, although that is not necessarily what you need to access that heat and use it. It's something that's been used for decades and decades and decades in parts of the world where there's more of it. So it's not especially new. And it is renewable. In terms of why the Trump administration wants it, an educated guess is that because it does need a certain amount of drilling and the kind of technology that oil and gas drillers use, that it sort of fits into that area that he's interested in supporting.
So basically drill, baby, drill. As long as
it
employs the same technology that the drillers use for fossil fuel.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about what's happening in Connecticut. You went to a development at Union Station in New Haven. What's going on there? And is that the biggest geothermal project we have right now?
Well, as far as Connecticut goes, yeah, probably it is the biggest one we have going now. But I think it's also important for listeners to understand that when we're talking about geothermal, it can be used for different sorts of things. Out west, where you have a lot more volcanic activity and where there's a lot of more easily accessible heat in the ground, you can really harness quite a bit of it and use it literally to run a power plant. That's electricity. It's different in the east, where the geology is much older And when you're accessing that kind of heat, you're just not getting as much of it or quite as hot. And here, it's really for heat and cooling, heat and hot water.
As opposed to generating electricity, which is...
Yes, as opposed to generating electricity. Of course, there's a nexus there that people should remember. If you're using a type of energy source like geothermal to run your heating and cooling, which is what you do because of the way it works, then you don't need electricity to do that. So it frees up a little more electricity on the grid. So they work hand in hand here.
Okay, so let's go back to the Union Station project in New Haven. What is this and how big is the scope?
Well, pieces of it are still kind of being determined. The plan at Union Station is to use geothermal for heating and cooling and hot water in the station, as opposed to, you know, whatever they were using now. There are also plans to build at this point two mixed income apartment buildings that would have a total of 550 or so units with some common spaces and retail down the bottom. And that also would be for heating and cooling and hot water.
So the whole neighborhood would be, you'd use geothermal for the entire neighborhood around Union Station pretty much.
Well, it's stuff that doesn't exist now. This would be new housing, and the station obviously does exist. What they call it is networked geothermal, where you can configure it in a way where when you are doing that drill, baby drill down into the ground, instead of running all these different, what they call boreholes, there's a way to link them together underground and use different types of, essentially you're linking together different types of needs that can work, again, hand in hand with each other. So everybody doesn't need hot water at once and everybody doesn't need cooling at once. The heating and cooling footprint, for instance, of Union Station is gonna be different from individual apartments in these still to be built units.
Now let's talk a little bit about the financing for this. This is a pretty expensive project. How much is it and how's the financing change between what the Biden administration committed to this and what's going on now with the Trump administration?
You know, the overall cost for the underground geothermal work and the retrofitting of Union Station's heating and cooling is really just about $16.5 million. Now, of course, building the apartments and doing everything there, that's a whole separate pot of money that has not been dealt with yet. The Biden administration had given the city $9.5 million. It was approved and what they call obligated at the end of the Biden term, and the Trump administration came in and held it up. There was all kinds of movement to get it back, which they finally did do. So that money is in hand and that is being used now. They're at a stage where they're doing test boreholes, but they will be part of the ultimate unit.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jan.
You are quite welcome.
Jan Allen is Connecticut Mirror's regular freelance environment and energy reporter. I'm Ebon Udama.
For the news you trust and music you love, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. Our winter fundraiser is about building a foundation for another great year of work, and we typically interrupt programs for 10 days to reach our goal. This year, we're cutting it down to 5 so you can enjoy more local news and music. Thanks to a generous match from WSHU's Beacon Society, your gift will be automatically doubled. It's time to donate. Go to WSHU.org, and thank you so much for your support. I'm Sabrina Garon. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk tomorrow.